Well, ideally, we need space. And that's part of the issue with Copper Harbor is that most of it's zoned resort residential. Luckily for me, the property where the horses are was zoned agricultural. So that's how that kind of segued. Property and space is the first thing. Ideally, in my perfect world, there would be plenty of pasture. There would be a barn. Indoor riding arena would be fantastic. For the long winter months. Last year was pretty mild, but an indoor arena would be just fantastic for exercise and just playing. We have miles and miles and miles of trails, two tracks, dirt roads, through the bush. It was kind of a pipe dream once before. Ideally, when Fannie Ho went up for sale, it's like, oh, buy Fannie Ho, utilize the campground as stable area. Like, it would be great. People would love it. But the older I get and the more that work is involved and life happens, maybe not so much. But consistent longevity, it's not easy keeping horses in the harbor, but it can be done, and we'll talk about that.
Thank you, thank you, and welcome to A Fresh Air Inspired Life, featuring Copper Harbor from the inside and the importance of kindness, connection, and community. I'm your host, Amanda Wise, and it's great to be here. We are in the studio today, and it's a lovely rainy day as we record, but today's guest has lived in the harbor for 11 years. He originally wanted to move up here with the farm. Here to tell us about keeping horses in Copper Harbor is the adorable Tom Wiercik. Hey, Tom.
Hey Amanda, thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks so much for talking to us about this. I feel like this is such a cool, kind of secretive thing in the harbor, and I just was hoping you'd want to shed a little light on what it's like to raise horses up here. So, please first tell us how you learned about Copper Harbor and when you knew it was time to move here.
Well, the first time that I had heard about Copper Harbor, I came up to ski at Bohemia with a buddy. He said, "You want to go up to the Keweenaw?" And I was like, "The Keweenaw where?" Like, I didn't know. I was from the Lower Peninsula. I just never ventured up this far. We came up for my birthday, which was mid-March, and this was years ago. There was a thaw. We stayed the night at the Brockway Inn, went to Bohemia, decided not to ski, went to Marquette and left. That was it. I was here, I was gone, done.
That was it.
A lot of life happened between then, and started spending more time in the area, started coming up here. Did a Scott and I did a crazy 24-hour loop. We left Levering, Michigan, at 4 o'clock in the morning, and we came up here and we did all of the UP and got home at like 3 o'clock the next morning. Yeah. And still, even at that time, it wasn't really the intent to live here. Scott had attended Michigan Tech, did his got his degrees from there, and then traveled for work, and then came back and lived in Trap Rock Valley for the better part of a decade, moved away, and then the opportunity presented itself for us to move back up here, and that's kind of when we made the leap. Again, it wasn't Copper Harbor. We didn't intend necessarily for Copper Harbor. It was kind of Houghton, Keweenaw-ish. We talked about wanting to bring the farm up here, and we looked around. And when we were looking, that was one of the years, of many years, that the Sturgeon River floods and farm fields down there flood. And we were looking at what was for sale and what was available, and nothing really suited us very well. So just on a whim, we were up here, and we were just touring the Keweenaw, and we were over at Great Sand Bay. And right there was a house that was for sale. And I was just like, wow, could you imagine this view every day? Could you just take it all in? And the more we got to talking about that, the farm was, it was a lot of work. We both worked full-time jobs and we had the farm on top of it. So it was get up and work, go to work, come home and work, you know, and do it all over again. So we decided to start looking in Keweenaw County. We decided we want to live in Keweenaw County. We decided to unload most of the farm, and we kept a couple of horses, and we made our way north.
That was it.
That was the start of it.
Yeah. So when did you become interested in horses in general?
Again, you know, it wasn't really part of my life.
Oh, wow.
You know, I grew up in the city 10 miles south of the Detroit city limit, you know, so not a lot of farms down there. I mean, there are down in Monroe County, but not in my life, not in my area. So I had a friend in elementary school, and she used to take riding lessons, and she invited me to go along one day, and I went, and I kept going, and it was just a fun thing that, you know, we did. And then over, you know, throughout life, over my teenage years, there were things that cropped up. These people had horses, or I had the opportunity to go ride, or whatever, and I always took it up. My early 20s, I went out to Colorado and worked for a horse ranch, and I spent a year in Estes Park in the Rocky Mountain National Park, and I would take people out on trail rides in the mountains every day.
Wow.
Yeah, we'd go camping, overnight camping. We'd do pack trips. And then when the tourist season was over, I went to Western Colorado, and I drove a truck and trailer and delivered horses to the hunters in the mountains so they could pack out their elk. Yeah. It's quite the experience. Yeah, a lot of beautiful scenes out there.
Yeah.
And I came back. I came back home, and I decided, you know, I'm gonna bite the bullet. You know, I'm gonna get horses of my own, and that's kind of when it started.
Wow, that's a way cool way to lead into that. Awesome. So horses are big, and they need lots of room to roam, like you told us in the beginning. What kind of planning really took place to get the boys up here?
Well, you know, we weren't really sure what was going to happen and how we were going to make that work. So before we made the move, I started reaching out to a lot of people. Hey, do you have horses? Do you have room for two more? You know, what are our opportunities? What can we do? You know, a good rule of thumb is that you should have 1 acre for every horse.
Okay.
Like minimum. You know, we came from an 80-acre farm.
Wow.
But,
okay,
you know, we were just making do. You know, some people keep their horses stabled all the time and turn them out a little bit, give them some exercise. But, you know, how much room do you need? How much room can you get? You know, how much, you know, there's a lot of variables in place. It wasn't until we moved up here and some changes had happened that I got linked up with Clyde, and we kind of started discussing what could happen there with his property. I didn't know Clyde at the time. You know, this was early on when we first moved here. And I had heard through the grapevine, and I don't remember who, if it was Peg or somebody else in the community that I talked to, but they're like, hey, Clyde was going to at some point in time allow others in the harbor to keep horses on the property, but for whatever reason that didn't pan out. So I started kind of thinking about that, and I said, you know what, I need to find this guy. I need to talk to him. And I ran into Clyde at the post office, at the P.O. boxes.
It was
Copper Dog weekend, and I said, hey, you know, you don't know me, but I know you. And I had heard that this was a possibility, and is this something that you would still consider? And, you know, Clyde, you know, come talk to me, you know, in the spring. I kind of left the post office that day thinking, well, you know, okay, maybe not. But I did go find him in the spring.
Good.
And he said, let's jump on the mule, we'll go for a ride. You know, we went for a ride around the property, and we worked out a deal.
Awesome.
And over the years, it has just kind of changed, expanded, moved on, moved over, and a little bigger and better. And it's really quite nice back there.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I'm so glad that worked out for you. So now you're up here. You, like you said, it kind of changed where things were placed back there. But you're in the maintaining part. And what does your horse tending schedule look like on a daily basis, and then maybe weekly and monthly? Like, what are your chores?
I see those boys twice a day, rain or shine, blizzard, storm, you know, whether I like it or not.
Okay.
And I do like it most days. I really do like it. It's part of my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm working in town now for the last couple of years, mm-hmm. so I feed them before I leave. I'm back there at, you know, 6:30 in the morning feeding, wow. and I feed them when I get home at 6:30. And, you know, the longer summer nights, I get to spend some time with them. Mm. But that is a consistent, you know, twice a day, every day. And it's good for all of us.
Good.
Yeah.
So twice a day, every day, you feed them. And then what are some of the other things you have to do?
You know, we feed and water. Water was somewhat of an issue when we first put them back there. Oh. You know, there was no water, there was no electricity, anything like that. So we were hauling water at one point in time until we put in a hand pump well where they're at now.
Okay.
So, yep. And that's great, except in the peak of summer, it tends to dry up. So we're still hauling water, which is fine.
Wow.
But feed, water, groom, you know, lay hands on them. Make sure that they're okay. Mm-hmm. You know, did you get tangled up in a fence? Have there been any predators around? Like, what's going on? You know, their hooves need to be done. Mm-hmm. We have vet care on occasion. Luckily for us, we ran into a new local friend who is an equine veterinarian.
Oh,
and she's been a tremendous help with, like, all things horses.
Awesome.
Yeah. It's what been great having her around.
Very cool. Oh, nice. So how often, you mentioned those late summer nights, how often do you get to ride?
The older I get, it seems like the less that I do. And I
understand.
Yeah, I know. I understand the importance of making, you know, priorities priority. But there's just so much sometimes, you know. I really need to force myself to do it more, you know, work all day, come home, do chores, you know, do I have time? Can I make time to jump on and go for a ride? I never regret it when I do, good. But it's getting myself to get in the saddle. It's really, it's peaceful. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of some downtime, kind of get right with myself, get right with them. You know, it's that time right before sunset back there where it's just absolutely beautiful. Right when the sun is about to drop behind Brockway Mountain, it just lights up. It's just gorgeous.
It does. Yep. I love seeing you back there if I'm out there for a walk or something and hear you go, oh, here comes Tom. It's so cute.
Trotting around the field.
Yes.
Yeah, even if it's short rides just around the property, you know, that's enough. You know, they obviously need more riding. They're overfed and underworked, and it shows. But, you know, sometimes, you know, during the shoulder season, I'll kind of ditch out, and I'll go, you know, down towards Clark Mine, and there's a pretty nice two-hour loop that you can ride the Clark Mine Road out there in Magnes and even over towards Estevan, you know.
Yeah.
So make the best of it.
Great. I was just wondering where you'd go for your longer loops. So those are great places to get to. I mean, and not too much traffic, I mean, depending on the time of year, but
right, yeah.
Yeah, do you feel like it's easy enough to find routes that your horse is allowed to go on where you feel like, yeah, you feel free out there and you can go and explore?
Oh yeah.
Oh,
yep.
Awesome.
Yep. Just got to know which way are we going today?
Yeah.
You know, Elaine and I ride quite a bit, and
nice.
1 year we rode to the top of Brockway Mountain.
Oh my.
Yeah, that was fun. It was another check that off the list.
Yes.
And you know, we threatened to ride out to High Rock, but you know, it's miles and miles out there.
Yeah.
And we just haven't quite made that one happen yet. But
that one on the bucket list?
It's on the list somewhere.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Wow, nice. So overall, how would you rate the manageability of owning horses here in the harbor?
Well, that's a labor of love. So I guess that all depends on who you're talking to.
Oh, okay.
You know, it is a lot of work. You know, the winter times can be brutal.
Yeah.
No electricity back there, which is fine. It's okay, but we're not able to run a trough heater to keep the ice off the trough. So we're breaking ice twice a day, occasionally breaking a trough in itself.
Wow.
No, it's just like, oh, I knew I shouldn't have done that. But we haul hay to feed the horses, because while there's some pasture area, it's not it's not a hay field.
Right.
It's
right.
A lot of Keweenaw weed and overgrowth, and they tend to graze that down right quick. So we haul hay, usually during haying season, which is July.
Okay.
And we try to get everything that we need for the winter to carry us over to get through till next hay season. So again, we need storage for that as well.
Yeah.
Snow removal. you know, where they are at back there by the pond. You know, we have to plow back and move snow, you know, but that's part of the key when all is moving snow. We plow to get out from the house and we plow to get into the horses. And, you know, sometimes we have to wait for the county to plow the roads so we can get there, you know, but, I guess it all comes back to, what are you willing to do?
Yeah.
And I think, you know, Sherry Allen always says, you know, one has to do what one has to do to live where one wants to live, or, you know, she's got a catchy little phrase, something like that. And it's true. You know, what are you willing to do to be where you want to be?
Mm-hmm.
And we're doing it. So.
Wow. Great. Yeah. What do you think would make it easier? Like, if there was any magic involved or any resources that would come your way, what would make things easier for you?
That is a great question, and I might have to put a little extra thought into that one.
Oh, okay.
You know, obviously, you know, we talked a bit, you know, a riding arena would be amazing.
Yeah.
You know, more property, but, you know, they're not making any more property. And, and what people have, they tend to hang on to.
Yeah.
The zoning may be an issue, you know, but I hate to say it, but money is money does a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Not always good, not always bad, but that would ease the burden, you know.
Sure.
Well, fulfill all those pipe dreams.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we have our own little slice of heaven.
It's so lovely and peaceful back there.
Yep.
Oh. Okay. So now this is what I want our listeners to really think about. So say I'm walking through the field and I come across the horses, and I don't know much about horses, but I'm intrigued. So what advice would you share to keep intrigued visitors and the horses at their best?
Well, so there is a sign back there, and I hope that it's not a little off-putting, but it says, please do not touch or feed the horses. And that's just really for everybody's sake. I mean, the reality is that you could probably reach over that fence and touch those horses and you're going to be just fine. You could probably pick some grass or an apple off the tree and feed those horses, and those horses are going to be just fine. But, you know, we do have one horse back there that is a little sensitive with respiratory issues. If you start feeding him things that are going to trigger that, that may be an issue. Or if you pick a bushel of green apples off the tree and start feeding them those, then there's possibility for bloat or colic or all of these other issues. Sometimes that electric fence is on and sometimes it's not.
Yeah.
You know, buyer beware.
Yes.
It's really just a preventative thing.
Yeah.
You know, you see the horses, you want to go talk to them, absolutely go ahead, walk up to the fence, enjoy your time there. But just for everybody's sake, you know, we're not back there all the time. So people happen by, and that's great. I think if they think that they're beautiful, they enjoy them. Wow, hey, this is unique. Like you said, it's kind of hidden and tucked away back there. Some people don't realize it till they stumble upon them, and what a nice surprise that is.
It is.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, because I don't know. I haven't grown up around horses, and I personally am not comfortable. I don't know what to do. But so that was good advice. But I tell you what, Brady P., he will go and squat by that fence and watch those boys, and they will come over by him, and he will call them all by him. Oh, hi, Chance. Hi, Benjamin. Hi, Bird. And I think Benjamin likes him the most. But they'll all come over and say hi. If I walk by, they don't care.
Yeah.
They just keep eating. They're like, eh, not our spirit.
Right.
But Brady and I, it's... I have to pull him away from them, and I feel bad saying that, but I'm like, dude, we're on a walk right now. Like, let's keep going. We've been here for, I'm hot, you know, we're in the sunshine and the flies are out, whatever. But it's just, it's really neat to see how people do react differently to them and how the horses react differently to
the people. Sure.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts on that?
Well, just, you know, for instance, there's a lot of locals that happen by and we chit-chat about that. And some are indifferent, and some have, you can tell there's a little bit of fear. They want to know more. And I always tell people, like, when it comes to horses, like, they're super inquisitive, just as much as you are, but, like, you got to be the boss. You got to be the sheriff. You know, you got to be in charge. There's a fine line, and that's what horsemanship is, I think. You know, it's a relationship. It's a fine line. It's a fine understanding.
Wow.
And I pride myself on that with Benjamin particularly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I got him, he was just over 2 years old and he had very little training. So everything that's happened with him has been a result of my relationship with him. Wow. And our training and just developing that over the years. You know, he's very responsive, and we know each other, you know. Both a little hard-headed sometimes, but when we're in the saddle, we can sort that out, you know.
Oh, wow. So
those are the days, most of the time those are the days where I come back feeling good.
Oh,
sometimes I'm a little more wound up than when I left, but
oh, sure.
If people happen by, you know, I have conversation with them, you know. Let
yeah.
you know what's going on. What would you like to know? You want to pet them? You want to go, you know, let's bring them out.
Yeah.
You know, let's go for a ride. You
yeah.
know? Not oh, so much to awesome. Go for a ride. That's a lot of work involved
it
with
is,
that. But,
I'm sure.
Many people have gone. We've a lot of people, a lot of locals have gone out riding. Even Marianne Quackenbush went out with me once.
All right.
She just loved it. Yeah.
Oh,
it was great.
Fun. Maybe we will get Brady up there someday. I don't know. He's a little small, but does he love them.
Yeah, we've had kids, you know, even just to sit in the saddle. You know, Red Rose's grandson was up a couple years ago and set up a situation where they wanted to introduce him and get him on a horse, and
aww,
we did just that.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe that's something for the future if you have, like, certain days of the week where you kind of offer that and people know, maybe some of the tourists. I'm just making this up right now.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll edit it out, but I don't know. That could be kind of cool, like pet the horses or ride the horses or something when you're there.
Yeah. You know, everything starts where it starts.
It does.
You know, and that was kind of the thing, you know, I was talking about that pipe dream with Fannie Ho and riding stables,
yeah.
You know, take people out for trail rides. I
mm-hmm.
feel like people would eat that up.
Yeah.
You know,
and
I
you've
mean,
done that.
Well, yeah,
yeah,
right. Yeah, you know, we have the lake and we have fishing and kayaking mm-hmm. and we have biking and side-by-sides and we have all that. What's the missing thing, you know?
Yeah.
I think it was in the 1970s there was a riding stable up by the Mountain Lodge.
Oh, okay.
And I think that was Sherry Jack Little's family.
Oh, wow.
And they did that for a number of years. And, you know, this isn't new to the harbor.
No.
It's been a while since anything like that has happened, but...
Hmm.
You know, it's still out there floating around.
It is.
Yeah.
Ooh, maybe you can chime in, dear listener, and tell us what you think about that. If you'd like to be a little more curious or hands-on with the horses, send me a note and tell me what you think about that. Is there anything else you would like to say about these big guys?
Just that they're amazing
mm.
creatures. You know, they're a herd animal, and their instincts mm-hmm. are intact no matter how kept they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's fight or flight, and, you know, it's usually flight on their part. So always be aware of that. You know, they're not, I don't want to say wild, they're domesticated, but, you know, again, they have that. They're beautiful, they're big, they're strong, but they're emotional and sensitive too.
Mm-hmm.
So aren't we all?
Yes. Wow, that's so cool. Thank you so much for filling us in on that awesome passion of yours. So what else do you like to do here for fun, Tom?
Oh, well, again, like the horses, the older I get, it seems like the less time that I have. But right off the top of my head, you know, wintertime skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And Bohemia is the home hill for that, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of regardless of the snow. Every time we have a melt, I say, I'm not going back. And I always go back. skiing, cross country, downhill, rock picking on the lake shores
mm-hmm.
in the more remote spots. I really enjoy getting to Isle Royale when I can for hiking,
nice.
Fishing, whatever we can mm-hmm. do over there. We explore, you know, the historic mine sites.
Mm-hmm.
We do go look for copper and datolite and other minerals. Anything outdoors in this paradise that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, when I moved here, I didn't realize how much was here, you know, for
yeah.
as small and remote of a peninsula as it is. Like, there's just so much,
so
you know, and
much.
And you know, I'm in my 11th year here, and I hate to say that I start to take it for granted,
mm-hmm.
but we get wrapped up in life. But we have a lot of friends and family that come visit, and those are the times that force me to pause
yep.
and go and do these things. And it just kind of comes back to me, like, wow, you know, how lucky are we? Or as Gail English always says, you know, we get to live here. You know, this is, we live here. And it's pretty fantastic.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks. I do remember we got to ski together once. I don't know if we just met on the hill. It was so fun. I think I was on my snowboard probably because I'm a better snowboarder. But we were just, I feel like we were so well matched. And we just liked the same runs. And we just meet at the bottom together. It was just a really fun day. So maybe we'll get to do that again someday.
We should definitely do that. Yep.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun being out there with someone else, you know, kind of here and there, or all day if you're a good match.
Or I'll see you at the bottom.
Yeah.
I'll catch you on the lift.
Yeah. Oh, sounds good. Also, you are on the volunteer fire department, correct?
I am.
Yeah.
Yep, I put in some time. Mm. It was jokingly said that that's kind of a rite of passage for Copper Harbor. You know, either you work at the Mariner or you join the fire department. Like, those are a couple of the things. It wasn't the Mariner for me. It was the fire department. Mm. And I put in some time. I went through the training. I did the schooling. I put in my years. I should be a little bit more involved with the meetings, but, you know, working in town and horse chores and all of that. I'm still involved. I still do some of the community things. But the important thing is, I think, is that when that pager goes off at 2:30 in the morning, I'll show up. Right. I'll be there.
Yeah. So. Wow. That is, I think that's the most important part too. And thank you so much for doing that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You're welcome.
Awesome. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our
listeners? There's probably things we could talk about all day long, but I think we got the bulk of it, you know.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. Well, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. It never really crossed my mind, you know, because why? I get why. Because it's unique, it's unusual in Copper Harbor. It's part of our community. Yeah. But to me, it's just part of our everyday life.
Sure.
But I'm glad that we can talk about that, and maybe some others will find it interesting.
I think so. I do. I've been meaning to talk to you about this for years, so I'm so glad.
Glad we got to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you, dear listener, for tuning in. Till next time, follow your curiosity towards something that's bigger than you. And do whatever it takes to believe in yourself. Ba 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 da 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 ba ba da ba do da da ba ba da.